This is an InsightView.eu podcast. Today, one of the biggest topics in the European media is not unemployment. Instead, labor shortage prevails even though the Eurozone is supposed to be amidst an economic crisis with significantly slower growth. Demographic headwinds appear to be at play. In this context, InsightView has interviewed Katja Mann, assistant professor at Copenhagen Business School. Katja is a macroeconomist working on long-run topics, such as automation technology and the future of work, demographic aging with implications for pension systems and global capital flows, and inequality.
First, Katja Mann, thanks for taking the time for this podcast.
It's a pleasure.
In Europe, we have discussed the upcoming demographic headwinds in the last two decades. However, from Insight.eu's point of view, the European Union is amidst a demographic hurricane. Would you call such a statement an exaggeration?
No, I think it's a true characterization because there are big demographic changes happening all around Europe at the moment. So we have these big baby boomer cohorts that are retiring now. And at the same time, for a long time, we have had low fertility rates. We also have a lot of restrictions on immigration. So we also don't see a lot of younger workers coming into the countries. And so the population is really aging fast. And just to give you some numbers, so according to the UN, the old age dependency ratio, so that's the ratio of the retirees relative to the working age population, that is going to increase from currently 0.3 to 0.6 by the end of the century. So at the moment, there's three retirees for 10 workers, and it will be 6 for 10 workers in the future.
How will demographic headwinds impact Europe in the coming years? Where do you believe we will see the biggest impact?
Well, first of all, in terms of countries, there are, of course, differences across Europe. So Northern Europe is doing a little bit better because they had higher fertility rates over the last decades. Southern Europe and Germany are not doing that well. But overall, we will see that there are fewer people who work and generate income, and there will be more retirees. So it will be harder to generate economic growth and to keep our present standards of living. And at the same time, this will be a big stress test for pension systems and with a potential shift of wealth across generations.
In this podcast, the theme is demographics. However, InsightView believes the topic is linked to another topic, namely inflation. Today, the European Central Bank is trying to reduce the risk of second-round inflation, such as wage inflation. Therefore, monetary policymakers want a less tight labor market, more precisely, higher unemployment. However, this seems to be an uphill struggle because in many countries, people retiring leaves the labor force faster than slower growth is destroying jobs. Have demographic headwinds made it more challenging to use monetary policy to control inflation? For instance, has it become more challenging to boost the number of unemployed?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wouldn't necessarily agree with your statement that a central bank wants to increase unemployment. In fact, many central banks have it in their mandate that they want to keep unemployment low, like the US Fed, right? But it is true that labor shortages can create inflation. So if they create an upward pressure on wages, that means, of course, that there will be these like wage price spirals potentially. There will be an increase in consumer prices and all these things. So in that sense, you're right that demographic aging can lead to inflation as it reduces the size of the labor force. But then I would say there is a counteracting force, or at least in the last years or decades, we have seen that, namely that because people are moving towards retirement, they're actually saving a lot. So they're reducing the consumption, and we have a higher savings rate overall of the population. So that means a lot of saving, very little consumption, and that tends to lower inflation. So, and I would say that this secondary effect has been stronger in the past. So we have seen very low inflation over the last 10, 20 years. But who knows what is going to happen once the baby boomers retire, because then they should start this saving, right? So then we might see the opposite effect. But for me right now, it's an open question whether aging will really lead to very high inflation.
But if you try to look into the German example, normally when you have an economic downturn, German unemployment is going up by approximately 1 million But right now, Germany's labor force or potential labor force is now declining by 1 to 1.5 million every 3 years. Isn't that a problem for inflation or wage inflation? It will make the bargaining power of workers much better.
Yes, no, I totally agree with you that these, especially, I mean, we have seen a lot of labor market exits also during COVID, people are retiring early, and then now with the big cohorts retiring, I definitely agree that the workers will have a stronger bargaining position. It's just like, to me, a question, to what extent is that going to translate into high inflation? And I would just say from what we have seen previously, I mean, the high inflation that we see right now has been driven mostly by external factors like the Ukraine war, and not so much, I would say, by the demographic structure within the countries. That's not to say this will never have an influence, but I would just say for now, the risk has not been that high.
But the risk could increase in the coming years. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it could. I mean, I don't expect inflation to be super high because of demographic aging, but who knows? I mean, we have to see also, of course, what happens in other countries and so on.
In the same context, due to increasing geopolitical risk, many European companies have moved or plan to move production away from China and back to Europe. In light of the ongoing demographic hurricane, this will create even more labor shortage as they will relocate factories back to Europe at the worst, according to me, possible time due to secular downward trend in the potential labor force. Do you believe European politicians fully understand the impact of the demographic headwind combined with all other problems such as deglobalization?
Well, it seems to me that addressing the effects of demographic changes is not very high on the agenda of many politicians at the moment. So even though their big reforms will be necessary, many politicians are still shying away from them. And that is, of course, going to be problematic at some point because the current, let's say the current pension systems are quite unsustainable in many countries. But I think these decisions to reform pension systems are just very unpopular. So look at France, where President Macron was recently facing very strong opposition against the plans to increase retirement age from 62 to 64, which is not such a big increase, you would think, and especially from our Danish perspective, where the retirement age is much higher, we would think that should not be such a big problem. But those groups that suffer from the reforms, they are very vocal. And at the same time, these cohorts that are getting larger and larger, and so their influence, also their political influence, is getting stronger and stronger. And politicians listen to them, of course, because they don't want to make their voters unhappy.
In several Nordic countries, pension savings have become so large that it becomes difficult to see who will produce the goods and services we will demand in the future. How well prepared are European pension systems for demographic aging?
Well, I'm not so worried about producing the goods that we will buy tomorrow, because I think it will always be possible to import from countries that have more favorable demographics. Also among developed countries, the US, for example, is doing much better in terms of demographics. But of course, large savings can be problematic if they lead to big imbalances. But when it comes to the pension systems, so there are big differences across Europe. So on the one hand, you have countries like Denmark or the Netherlands that have very strong funded pension systems. So the way that works is that when you work, you pay into the pension system. There's the pension fund investing the money for you. And when you retire, you get your own investments out again. So you finance your own retirement. And that is sustainable even if there are fewer younger people and more old people. Whereas in many other countries, like Germany, for example, there are these so-called pay-as-you-go systems. So that means that the current working age population funds the current retirees. So that pension payments, they are a pure intergenerational transfer. And of course, that gets difficult when you have fewer and fewer people who pay into the system and more people who want to get something out of the system. So they need to change something in the design of these pension systems. Now, I mean, there are different solutions, but all of them are unpopular. I mean, you could increase the contribution rate. So that means you place a burden on the young by them having to pay more into the system. You could decrease the replacement rate, so that would mean that the old get less retirement income. You could increase their retirement age, and we have already talked about that's also not so easy to do. Or you have to aim for a bigger reform, but in any way, something will need to happen. The question is just, when is the problem going to become so pressing that you really cannot postpone it anymore, but you have to react now.
But this is what politicians are not really doing. They are not preparing. Is that what you're saying?
Not at the moment, because I would say probably we can go for another 5 or 10 years with the current systems. I mean, they get more and more under pressure, but they still kind of work. But at some point, when we really have these big cohorts switching from working age to retirement, at some point something has to happen because this just does not work anymore.
In Africa, the demographic picture is the opposite of Europe, with millions of young people entering the working age group in the coming decades. On the other hand, many African countries are exposed to some of the most significant negative consequences of the ongoing climate crisis. Seen in a historical light, it will probably intensify a movement of people from the south to the north. On the one hand, the EU countries need immigration, but there is political opposition among voters towards more immigration. What should European policymakers do when simultaneously European voters are reluctant to work longer?
Well, to me, one obvious alternative is automation. So that means getting machines to do the job for which you cannot find human workers. And I think particularly robots can take over jobs that are physically demanding or that are dangerous for humans. And that in particular, when you have an older population, are maybe harder to do for those that are in the workforce. So with a colleague from CBS, I've just written a paper where we looked at robot adoption among Danish firms. And we find that robots are used in particular by those firms that are facing labor shortages. So in that paper, we look at a little bit of a different context. We look at immigration and like how many immigrants are there in different regions in Denmark. But basically, the insight is that firms are already adjusting to labor scarcity by buying machines. But then, of course, there's also political opposition against automation. So many people fear that robots will kill jobs and lead to mass unemployment. So that's also maybe not such an easy topic, but it's really not what we see in the data so far. So robots do not kill jobs, at least not for now.
In Europe, the receivers of public sector services and transfer income are increasingly older people, as you mentioned, and their share of the population is rising. Conversely, the share of people who produces the services and goods demanded, the younger generations, is shrinking. However, the democratic trend could soon make the receiving voters the majority. Is this a democratic problem?
Yes, I definitely think that the fact that the median voter is getting older and older has a big impact on the political agenda. And, you know, this is not the only intergenerational conflict that we have right now. When we think about climate change, it's the same. We have young people bearing the cost of kind of excessive lifestyle of the older generations, but they don't have much say because they're a relatively smaller group. So I definitely think that is a problem.
Maybe you can also elaborate a little bit more on how demographics is going to change the distribution of wealth and income in the future.
Yes, so I think demographic aging has a big effect on the distribution of wealth, especially when you look at funded pension systems like the Danish one or the Dutch one, where you accumulate pension wealth for yourself during your working age, and then you get that money out when you're retired. And so, of course, there is a danger that those people with high incomes, they also accumulate more wealth, and those with low incomes, they're kind of left out. So it's very important that pension systems have these built-in elements that make sure that the poor do not have too little means to live from their pension savings when they're old. And so it's important to strike a balance between, on the one hand, making sure the pension system is sustainable so that you're responsible for your own savings and it does not involve this intergenerational transfer. But on the other hand, also making sure that nobody is left out. I think that is a big challenge and that we see different countries across Europe take different approaches here.
Also, you mentioned investment in robots and automation. This also means that the owners of capital is going to get more return compared to workers.
Yes, definitely. And there I would say these funded pension systems are actually a good thing because the pension companies invest money on behalf of their clients, and they invest them very well usually. When we look at the returns on pension investments generated by the pension funds, they're usually quite okay. They're better than what many, you know, low income, low financial education people would get if they were investing by themselves. So by creating these funded pension systems, you actually make sure that the poorer people get their share of the cake, so to speak, and that they also benefit from high returns on capital from robot investments, for example.
So to make a conclusion, you are not as negative on demographics as I am.
that could be. I mean, I do think that large reforms are required. I mean, I am from Germany and I see the German pension system and I think something needs to happen, really. But I think these problems are solvable if we act fast. And so in that sense, yes, maybe I'm a bit more optimistic than you are.
Thank you, Katja Mein, for taking part in this podcast.
It was my pleasure.